that by having these radios, be able to distinguish what the Bible says from, you know, maybe some of the ideas that they think are Christian ideas, but perhaps are not. And of course, ultimately bringing freedom and salvation into their homes.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have answers for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you, friends, for joining us here on our Mission Compass program. We want to point you in the direction of serving God in the Great Commission. And we've got a very full program, so we got to get right to it here. We're finishing our conversation with Kenny Jackson, the director of the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And I just want to say thank you to all of our friends, listeners, partners that have given to us for the work on Canada's First Nations territories. Those funds went to the NEFC to put in radio stations, towers, and equipment. And we want to keep going. And so Kenny gives us a great report on what God is doing and how we can keep involved. So you want to stay tuned for that. Al Wyatt, our missions team lead, shares about the Quechua in Peru. We have a team about to leave in a month. We've got another team for August. We want to keep going back. The demand for our solar-powered radios and audio Bibles there is huge. Literacy rates are low. Lack of infrastructure up in the Andes there. And so we got a quick update about the Quechua. We're doing all sorts of stuff here at Galcom to get the gospel out, but we need your help. Talk to your missions pastor if you've got one, or a missions committee at your church. Share this program with them and say, hey, what about a missions trip from our church somewhere? We're talking to a group about going over to Kenya to some rural areas there. So we want to get you involved in the Great Commission. But before any of that, we want to get into God's Word. Bonnie Sale is coming up with our Reset devotional right about now.
Do we really understand what happens when we pray? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Jesus is recorded in Scripture as praying 25 different times during his time on earth. He even very specifically gave his followers a model of how to pray. Incredibly, God longs to hear from us, and his heart is moved by our prayers. Prayer itself has no power. All the power in prayer is God's power. He acts in powerful ways in response to our prayers. God is always listening. A woman named Corey told of being held in a concentration camp with her sister Betsy. 700 people had been shoved into a room meant to hold 200. Corey told how fights broke out. It was chaos, with swearing and sounds of bodies being beaten filling the room. Then Betsy said, "Let's pray." And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And when she prayed, it was as if a storm laid down. We heard less swearing and beating. At last, it was absolutely quiet. And then Betsy said, "Thank you, Lord. Amen." There was a room of 700 prisoners in danger, and there was one woman who prayed. Your prayer can make a difference, because nothing is impossible with God. In the Bible book of Hebrews, we're invited to draw near with confidence to God's throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Does your life, or the lives of those you love, or this world need mercy and grace today? Be the one who prays. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friend, here on the Mission Compass, as we point you into getting involved in the Great Commission, we want to educate you. And one of the things that we do every other week is our communications team lead, Faye Watford, joins us with some research she's done from joshuaproject.net about an unreached people group. But this week, I wanted to do something a little different. Instead of some research, how about a firsthand account? So our missions team lead, Al Wyatt's here to talk about the Quechua in Peru. Thanks, Al, for coming in and helping us out this week.
My pleasure, Tim.
So, you've been down to Peru a number of times with teams handing out our solar-powered radios, audio Bibles. You and your wife, Shelley, served for years in Peru with Wycliffe before you joined us here at Galcom. Tell us about the Quechua. What are their lives day-to-day like?
Yeah, so they're an agricultural society living high in the Andes Mountains. separated linguistically, even from group to group. As a matter of fact, you speak of Quechua, but in Peru, there are probably 13 different Quechua dialects. So some of them are understandable between themselves, others not at all. We had an instance a few years ago when we took a Bolivian Quechua speaker with us to Peru, and he was trying to speak to them in Quechua, and they were just laughing at him. They knew enough to know kind of what he was saying, but I guess he sounded kind of ridiculous. So eventually said, "Would you prefer if I spoke to you in Spanish?" And astoundingly, everyone said, "Yes, please do that." So when we think of Quechuas, they're a group of people, descendants of the Inca Empire. For many years, they were servants to the Spanish and, were working on these big haciendas or farms that were owned by the Spaniards. Eventually, they became separated from that, but living high in the mountains, many of them above the frost level even, where it's very difficult to grow things. You know, they can herd llamas and alpacas and maybe grow potatoes and a few herbs, but the higher up the mountains you go, the poorer they get. So there's quite a variation among the Quechua people, but what they do share in common is they're rural. They don't tend to live in the cities. They make a life for themselves on the land, working many hours, beginning for many of them before the sun gets up. In the morning, they're getting ready to move out, kind of work with the sun. Actually, for those of us in the West, we tend to get up with the alarm and go to bed after we feel like we want to turn the lights out. But for them, it's all, when the day begins, when the sun comes out. So they're out with their animals. Ironically, a lot of them will even in the cities, some of them have kind of moved into the outskirts of the cities, but they still have their animals with them. And I remember the funniest sight when Shelley and I first moved to Peru, was seeing a Quechua lady open the front door of her house and all these animals came out. Now, I don't think they were living in the house, but the only way from the backyard where the animals were to the street so she could lead them out to the fields was through the front door of their home. So their animals are really, really important to them. And especially the women will spend hours in the fields looking after their animals, their herds every day.
Let's talk about religion. According to JoshuaProject.net, 95% of Quechua are Christian, but only 0.6 are evangelical. And I think we're dealing here with a lot of syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about their religious beliefs.
Yeah, so of course I mentioned that they were descendants of the Inca. When the Spaniards came in, they imposed Catholicism on everyone. And so, if you were to ask the average Quechua what they would say that they were Catholic. But as you mentioned, the syncretism, a lot of their old beliefs, their belief system is still there. They believe in the Pachamama or Mother Earth and would have a worship and a fear of that. They would have Catholic idols. And when I say that, I mean idols. They may have, they're using Christian symbols, maybe. Christian symbolism would be a better way, but they've still got this belief in this, that these symbols or these shrines, these altars would have power. And of course, that goes back to their the Inca beliefs.
So you've got a team heading down there in April, just a few weeks from now. Handing out audio Bibles, solar-powered radios, doing ministry. What is your goal? Like, what if everything worked out just perfectly, what would be your success for this trip going down?
Yeah, so we're taking down 500 audio Bibles. The Bible, when Shelley and I lived there, they were working on the Quechua Wayaga version. So many different versions of Quechua. This was Wayaga. And they just finished last year recording the Old Testament. So we went down 4 or 5 years ago, but we're only able to put the New Testament on. Now we have the whole Bible. Many of them are now becoming more fluent in the children. The new generation kind of prefers Spanish. The older generation, middle age, will be both, and the older Quechua. So we've added both the Quechua Bible, full Bible, and the Spanish full Bible. Also, they're being tuned to Sinai Radio, which is the Christian radio station in Wanaco. And our hope is that we can give out one radio to each family that signs up for it. And I hear that there's already a big demand. They're already beginning to anticipate our visit. And that by having these radios in their houses and listening to them. There's not much available. There's not much broadcast in the Quechua language in Wanaco area. So they'll choose to listen to these radios, choose to listen to the Word of God, and be able to distinguish what the Bible says from, you know, maybe some of the ideas that they think are Christian ideas, but perhaps are not. And of course, ultimately bringing freedom and salvation into their homes.
Amen. So friends, if you're interested in joining us in this great adventure of the Great Commission, contact us, as Al said, the team for April's full, but we're going to head back there again. There's such a great need. In August, we're heading back. So this is great. So, and then probably next year. So maybe if this year you're kind of concerned, we're going to keep going back because you said there's a great demand for the radios. We're going to keep going back there doing ministry. Al, I appreciate you giving us kind of a firsthand account here for our Outreach People Group of the Week.
Stories can influence, teach, and inspire us to tell our story of salvation to others. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
Kind of a middle-aged woman, married with children and many extended family members. She and her husband were invited to listen to the station because they liked music. And of course, she caught the message of the songs that we played. And then, out of curiosity, began listening for the teaching programs as well. Within a few months, she and her husband had both decided to make a commitment to Christ. People just began saying, there's something that's different about you, and we want to know why. They began telling people to tune in the radio station, and they began sharing their own story. And within the first year, they had led a large number of people in their extended family to the Lord.
Discover how your story can make a difference for eternity. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
Well, friend, last week I caught up with Kenny Jackson, director of the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. While he and his wife, Millie, were driving somewhere in northern Saskatchewan on their way to Lac La Biche, Alberta for a gospel concert and visiting with churches there, we've done a lot of work with the NEFC, with Kenny and his team, putting in radio stations on First Nations territories, getting the gospel out to people who desperately need to know the truth about Jesus Christ. If you want to hear that conversation, visit our website, galcom.org, hit the Mission Compass icon. You can hear the podcast version of that. It's also up on YouTube, Spotify, anywhere where you like to stream audio, or anywhere you like to listen to your podcast, it's there. So I encourage you, if you missed that, you know, save it somewhere. If you're listening in your car right now, don't go now. I mean, keep listening now. But you want to hear the first part of the conversation. But we have a great conversation with God is doing on First Nations territories. So I want to pick that conversation up a little bit where we were last week, talking about the challenges that they have as First Nations people sharing the gospel on First Nations territories, the gospel of a church that may not be representing Christ very well in the past. So here's our conversation with Kenny Jackson. Don't worry, it's not all down. It's not all bad news. We got some good stories, what God is doing on our First Nations territories. So here's Kenny's answer to my question. What are the challenges they face as they bring the gospel to Canada's First Nations people?
When I think about what the challenges are nowadays in bringing the gospel to our First Nations people, there are significant ones. One in particular you did hit on a little while ago, the whole role of the church. And I'm pretty careful to kind of, whoa, if you're going to mention the church and the impact that that's had on Native peoples through residential school, you do have to delineate who exactly is the church. Mm-hmm. And who were the ones that ran the residential schools. And in some ways, you know, we find that we have to kind of bite the bullet for other church organizations that were involved in residential schools, because people tend to lump everybody into the same mold. You know, looking at the Roman Catholic residential schools and the Anglican Church, United Church, and those were the main ones in Canada. And as we were not part of any one of those, but by the same token, every time somebody says the church, we're lumped in there. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to reach people that have gotten a twisted form of a Bible-based gospel in the past, now, a twisted gospel, boy, it's almost a whole lot easier to reach someone who the gospel is brand new to than somebody who's, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. I know what that's all about. And when in actuality, what they are defining as this is the gospel, well, is not a true picture of the gospel. So that is one of the things that is difficult. Another one is in the area of syncretism, and this is where there's a collision or intersection of the gospel and traditional cultural ways. You know, I'm a plain speaker that loves my culture. I love my language. But, you know, when it comes to, okay, who's holding the trump card? Is it the gospel or culture? And that would be kind of well, one of the hard things about reaching our people with the gospel is just really knowing, you know, what part of culture are we able to actually keep, and, you know, that really goes good with the gospel, and what part, there's parts of it that are not that compatible with the gospel. And so we need to be very, I guess, wise in discerning what those intersections are and how to handle that. So you ask, what's the hardest thing? Well, that's the hardest thing right now.
I really appreciate you giving me your time. I've done radio interviews with somebody sitting in a hospital bed. I sat in a parked car at a hotel parking lot as someone was about to get on a plane. This is the first time I've ever interviewed something as they're driving down the highway. So friends, I apologize if we're kind of coming in and out of our connection here. But I didn't want to miss this chance to talk to Kenny because we have such respect for the NEFC, such respect for Kenny, his team. Gary Kekwish, our common friend, he does a lot of presentation on the radio. And Kenny, I remember Gary saying once to me, when he brings the gospel to someone, he's First Nations. I think he said, told me he was Woodland Cree, if I remember correctly. And when people say to them, how could you be involved with those churches, that church, as you said, you kind of get lumped in. He said, those people back then grossly represented my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to share what Jesus did in his life. And we just love the way that the NEFC, that you, Gary, and others present Jesus Christ. And so we are so honored to come alongside with our little part, you know, helping put up some towers, put up some radio stations, so that that message can be shared with more people. Friends, if you want to get involved with the NEFC, supporting their pastors, helping them as they establish churches, exciting 19th church coming up this spring, visit nefc.ca. All the information to give to the organization is there. And as Kenny said, you can listen to the radio broadcasts. And Kenny, you rotate through a couple of languages, isn't it? You got some Ojibwe on there and some other languages. So,
and that's one of the challenges of spreading across Canada, that you can't use the same languages because the languages are indigenous to an area. And, you know, we have, let's say, in Thunder Bay and Waigamau Lake, well, we have Cree on there that's called Uji Cree, that's a mix of Ojibwe and Cree, and also straight Ojibwe. Well, problem is when you get to Bella Coola, B.C., and you're working with Tsimshian people out there, I mean, this is a total disconnect as far as trying to, you know, yeah, it's native language, but it's definitely not understood in that territory. So we scratch our heads sometimes, and we'll have the programming in one particular area, in the language pertinent to that area, and then in another area we won't have that on the broadcast there. And you know, with the technology today, you're able to do things like that. It just makes it kind of complicated.
Again, we really appreciate our partnership with you. And I remember a conversation you and I had, and you kind of educated me, you know, we talk about the First Nations almost as if they're one people group, but no, very distinct cultures, very distinct languages across our nation of Canada and into the U.S. We kind of lump, it's funny, you talked about how you get lumped in with the church. Often we just kind of, oh, they're native. No, there's a very distinct group that you get to BC to Quebec. So we pray God's blessing on you guys as you go cross-cultural missionary from where you're from there in Manitoba and out to BC, to Quebec, the different cultures, the different tribal groups. And hey, before I let you go, biggest prayer requests, how can we be praying for the ministry of NEFC?
We've got a great deal on about 40 radio towers here several years back. And we still have 20-some of them left. And so we're one by one, they're going. But we were able to get $12,000 towers for, you know, we got them for $400. And then the bulk package is another $160. Okay, so for under $600, we're able to get these towers. Now, having said that, now at that point, we're able to offer radio stations into a community for a little under 10 grand. That's Canadian. When a community or church is asking, okay, can we get a radio station? We tell them, yeah, sure. You come up with half, which is $4,800, and we'll find the rest somewhere. And sometimes that somewhere could maybe be part of the Galcom listening audience. So that's what we do, and we're able to get the radio station in at a very reasonable cost and be able to get the gospel out there very cost effectively. You know, we talk about praying for us. Definitely there's a lot of opposition to basically anybody that's working to take the gospel to people that need it. Pray for all of us in that mode, and pray for the gospel broadcast in places where gospel broadcast is not necessarily always welcome. And we are thankful for being able to represent Jesus in those places, and at the same time we are thankful for your prayers for that kind of outreach.
Amen.
Pray for us also. My wife and I are gospel musicians, and we put on a lot of miles. There's things that that can go wrong, and it's just the kind of thing that we just really need a lot of prayer. And, you know, we talk about the 18 churches that are part of our group, to pray for them and to pray for, you know, that the Lord would be honored in these communities, in the lives of these people. And that things would go forward. We are thankful for all he is continuing to do. Personally, we spend about a quarter of our time at home, and that puts us on the road quite a bit. And between gospel music and radio stations and supervision with NEFC, well, that's just the way it goes.
Wow.
But God is good, and thank you for taking the time to kind of hunt me down, and we could talk today. Thanks, Tim.
It did take a bit to get you. And like I said, we're recording this as you're driving from one event to the other. But friends, just to give you an idea of the scope, there's over 600 First Nations communities in Canada representing over 1 million people, different tribal groups, different languages, different cultures. But Jesus Christ is the answer for the needs in each one of these. And so Kenny, his team at NEFC, they know how to communicate the gospel to our First Nations brothers and sisters. And so pray for them. Pray, as Kenny said, pray for them personally as they travel and minister. Pray for the ministry. Pray for those 18 churches, soon to be 19, for the 26 radio stations and growing. Give us wisdom as we choose where to put the next ones in. And then, again, please prayerfully consider supporting the ministry, nefc.ca. Kenny, thank you so much for giving us your time as you drive along there, up in those way north of the Trans-Canada, up Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. Oh, man. Check a map. Friends, look on a map for Lac La Biche. See just how far north they're going. God bless you, Kenny. Thank you so much.
Hey, you have a great day. God bless.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today, and you've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass. your guide to the Great Commission. We really appreciate you joining us, and we would like to send you a special gift. Contact us to receive your free copy of our devotional, 30 Days of Faith. Visit galcom.org and click Mission Compass. Fill in your contact info, and we'll mail your gift out to you right away. If you enjoyed today's program, you can listen again at galcom.org or on your favorite streaming platform. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled G-A-L-C-O-M.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.